This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday the 14th of July 2023. Hello. And welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. I'm your presenter, Barbara Kearns, and today I'm accompanied in the studio by readers Daphne Poupart.
Hello.
Nick Kearns.
Hello.
And Paul Newman.
Hello.
The first thing to say is if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. This number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. However, before reporting the playback box as faulty, do make sure it is plugged in and fully charged up. As you listen to the recording, remember that you can use the buttons on your box to move on from an item before it finishes or back to a previous track if you want to listen to it again. And for those of you with computers or tablets, as well as using your memory stick in the box, you can also access the weekly recording of the Chronicle through our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com. Just go to the website, click on News on the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear, and click Download. The recordings are listed in date order, most recent first on the list. Now, let's take a look at this week's edition of the Chronicle, starting with the news. Here are the headlines. Developers get a grilling over plans. Have a say on junction plans. And MP sets sights on Winchester seat. And the first headline story, please, Daphne.
Yes, and that's developers get a grilling over plans. Residents turned up in force to raise their objections to the major development of a former army base. After pulling out of the last public meeting, development representatives for Bushfield Camp were questioned for 2.5 hours on their plan to transform 42 acres of the 106-acre site on the edge of Winchester. The proposed development includes student accommodation, a hotel, a business park providing up to 2,500 jobs, and conservation of the chalk downland. Around 90 residents from Badger Farm and surrounding areas went to the meeting at the community centre on Monday, July the 10th, expressing their overriding disapproval. Main causes for concern include biodiversity and the loss of the peaceful walking areas, traffic, lack of parking, the height of buildings, and whether there is a demand for change. Beginning the public questions, Simon Lever of Juniper Close said, "I went to the very first consultation. That was in no way as broad or massive as it is now. I'm really concerned someone is being very economical with the truth. There hasn't really been any forward consultation. We all must stand together and be opposed to this plan because it will infringe upon our countryside." The concept master plan created by Legal and General, L&G, Gisborne and landowners, the Church Commissioners for England, was supported by Winchester City Council's Cabinet last month. Sitting among the audience, Winchester City Council leader Martin Todd was urged to speak. Councillor Todd said, "Back in 2012, I opposed the allocation of Bushfield Camp into the local plan. I said it was a bad idea. We agree with not building on the down, protecting the beech trees, redeveloping the fields as downland. But we were explicit in not agreeing to the massing of the scale, the number of parking places, and the student accommodation. We were accepting what was in the scope of the plan. Hampshire County Councillor Jan Warwick's question over the need for the plan was applauded and repeated throughout the evening. Councillor Warwick said, "Have you got the evidence to show there is a need for it? Evidence that these jobs are needed? We don't want to be building a business park for people to commute to it." Pointing out that the site had already been allocated for development in 2013 within the local plan, David Pattison of Make Architects said, "We've been employed as designers. It's above us whether something is done or not. There's been three consultations, with the first round understanding what the local community wanted, including cycle routes, green spaces, green roofscape, and accessible public spaces. There's a real opportunity for the community to get involved." Primary school teacher and trustee of the Residents Association, Peter Roberts, expressed his disappointment that the church commissioners failed to show up. He said, "This was out of order. They should have turned up. They're the owners of the land and they owe it to us to be here. I think you've underestimated that people of Badger Farm are not impressed. You can't tell us who will own the land and who will be there. I'd like to know who these mythical users are." Badger Farm resident Liz Wald has been in the area longer than Sainsbury's. She said, "The site could be developed. It's a bit of an eyesore. Initially it was for small businesses, and it has now snowballed into something with loads of links with businesses and universities and cafes. What protection will there be for these open spaces? One thing I like at the moment is that it is grass paths. If you start putting in tarmac paths, it could ruin it." Taking the floor, landscape consultant Sheena Bell said, "The actual camp area is quite hard to get into. It's thriving with wildlife and nature, which is great. The benefit of this project is that we are securing the long-term management of that land. It will deliver in excess of 10% biodiversity net gain. Having water on that site will really help the biodiversity. We'll have paths that everyone can access, including people in wheelchairs. It'll end up having wider recreational benefits for the city as a whole." One resident of 40 years was reduced to tears. He said, "It seems like everyone here has some reason for objecting. Perhaps the people who are doing good for the community should come up with an alternative plan. Clearly it has to be developed, but it's a matter of how much money the church commissioners want to get out of it. Surely there must be enough experience between us to come up with a plan that is better than this." Planning consultant Neil Goldsmith confirmed the plan was still to submit a planning application in the autumn, with documents that go into more detail on the issues raised, including the climate emergency, transport, parking, and the heights of buildings. The consultation remains open.
Have a say on junction plans. Hampshire County Council has opened a survey so people can comment on potential options to make a junction safer. The council is gathering views on options for redesigning the now infamous Cart Horses Junction at the A33 and B3047 in Kingsworthy. Two long-term options have been proposed, either a signal-controlled junction or two roundabouts, ahead of potential changes by National Highways to Junction 9 of the M3. Councillor Rob Humby of Hampshire County Council said, "The County Council considers that the M3 Junction 9 improvement scheme will have impacts on the Cart and Horses Junction, which will need mitigating. To inform discussions with National Highways on the solution needed, we have developed two design options. We want to hear what people living locally or who regularly travel to and from Winchester via the A33 and B3047 think about the options to inform the development of any final scheme. Delivery of any improvements to the junction will be dependent on the outcome of the M3 Junction 9 Improvement Scheme public examination, which is due to conclude in November with the decision expected to be made by the Secretary of State by May next year. The council update follows a week after residents and ward councillors gathered at the accident black spot to protest the authorities' inaction in introducing short-term measures while they wait for long-term changes in line with the Junction 9 project. And there's a photograph of at least 100 people gathered there holding a banner, "Safer Carton Junction, Carton Horses Junction Now." People can find out more and complete the online survey at hants.gov.uk/transport/transport schemes/cart and horses junction improvement. The survey closes on Monday, 18th of September. Two public information events will also be held for residents and stakeholders and all interested to speak to officers in person. The first will be on Wednesday, July the 19th, from 3 till 7:30 p.m. at the Worthies Jubilee Hall in London Road, and the second is at Winchester Rugby Club in North Walls Park on Tuesday, September the 5th, from 3 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
MP sets sights on Winchester seat. Meon Valley's MP has expressed an interest in running for the Winchester constituency at the next election. Flick Drummond's constituency will cease to exist at the next general election after the Boundary Commission's recommendations. Mrs. Drummond has now announced that she will be putting her name forward for the Winchester seat after MP Steve Brine said he would be stepping down. Mr. Brine, who was first elected in 2010, said it was time to consider a new chapter in his life. Last week, the Winchester MP said, "During my time as our MP, Susie and I have had two wonderful children, and I've put my heart and soul into doing the job. My team and I have done tens of thousands of pieces of casework to date, and that quietly remains the bedrock of my work for the people I represent. But that has all come at a price. Being away several nights every week, working at pace across this vast constituency when I am home, plus every weekend and just the sheer intensity of this role in the modern age." Mrs. Drummond said, "I wish Steve and his family the very best. He has been a good MP for Winchester for 13 years and has helped thousands of residents as well as representing them in Westminster. Around 26% of the new Winchester constituency will be made up of my present Meon Valley constituency, so it is an option for me to stand in Winchester as the Conservative parliamentary candidate, and I will be putting my name forward as I love this area. Many people will know I was a city councillor in Winchester and lived there for 20 years. Hampshire has been my home for the last 37 years. I've also made it clear from the start I would only represent an area that I know well and have an affinity with. I have no desire to look at seats elsewhere. That's not who I am, and I certainly intend to keep my word on this point."
Thank you. That concludes the headline stories. I'll go on with the death notices now, and Daphne will follow with question comment. Here are the death notices. Bothwell, David Lewis, died peacefully in Southampton on the 29th of June, 2023, aged 98. Carter, Christopher Norman, known as Chris. He died peacefully at home on the 30th of June 2023 after a short illness. Geiger, Raymond, known as Ray, aged 80, sadly passed away on the 27th of June 2023 in Winchester Hospice. Hack, Robert Charles, known as Rob or Bob, of Abridge, Romsey, passed away unexpectedly at home on Wednesday the 14th of June, aged 82. Christian comment has been written by the Reverend Philip Crinks this week. The title is Wait for the Lord. Thank you, Daphne.
In 1918, a young American soldier was stationed with his unit on Mourne Hill en route to the Western Front. On a day's leave, he decided to visit Winchester Cathedral. In the inner close, he came across a tombstone. Back at home, he had left a friend, something of a drinker, whose name was Ebbie Thatcher. The tombstone was of another soldier with a strikingly similar name, Thomas Thatcher, the Hampshire Grenadier. The stone told how Thatcher, in the North Regiment of the Hampshire Militia, died of a violent fever contracted by drinking small beer when hot on May the 12th, 1764, aged 26. The name of that American soldier was Bill Wilson. He survived the First World War, and he never forgot Winchester or the tomb of Thatcher. During the 1920s, Bill Wilson faced severe struggles with alcoholism, which affected his work and marriage. He was visited in hospital by his old friend, Ebbie Thatcher. Ebbie had finally achieved a period of sobriety after experiencing a conversion to Christianity. He tried to persuade Wilson to turn himself over to the care of a Christian deity who would liberate him from alcoholism. Wilson had never been a believer, but that night he cried out, "I'll do anything, anything at all. If there be a God, let him show himself." He later described what followed as the sensation of a bright light, a feeling of ecstasy, and a new serenity. He testified that he never drank again for the remainder of his life. When he was tempted to drink again, he decided that to succeed in his own journey, he needed to be helping others. Through a church, he met Bob Smith. Soon, Wilson and Smith together were working with other alcoholics in what they humbly referred to as their nameless squad of drunks. By 1938, they numbered about 100. They decided to promote their work with a book titled Alcoholics Anonymous. The book told on its first page of the visit to Winchester made by Bill W. in 1918. It has sold over 30 million copies. Today there are around 100,000 AA groups around the world with 2 million members, and many of them come to Winchester each year to see the tombstone which he saw that day, the restored replica still standing in the inner close, and the original stone in the Royal Hampshire Regimental Museum. The spiritual journey of Bill W. inspires because he found faith in a higher power, not in good times, but when he had reached rock bottom. It was then that he could receive a revelation of the love of God. It was then that he sensed for the first time a feeling of absolute safety. Psalm 27 speaks of this sense of safety coming to us when we most know our need of God. It may come in a flash, or simply as an unmistakably reliable calm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
And now this week's letters to the editor. Nick, can you start us off with silenced voices, please?
Yes, the first letter is from Councillor Jan Warwick, and it actually connects with our headline news piece about Bushfield Camp. I write to express my concern over the last-minute decision by the Lib Dem Cabinet to cancel the upcoming full Winchester City Council meeting, scheduled for July the 13th, without engaging in any discussion with leaders from other political groups. This unilateral action has created a democratic deficit, undermining the principles of transparency, accountability, and inclusive governance. The cancellation of this full council meeting deprives all councillors, regardless of their political affiliation, the important opportunity to ask questions, table motions, and engage in meaningful dialogue. This decision not only silences the voices of elected representatives, but also disregards the valuable input and concerns of the public, who would have had the chance to express their views during the meeting. Such a move erodes the democratic processes that should be the cornerstone of our municipal year. It is disheartening to experience a lack of inclusivity and respect for the participation of all residents and councillors in the decision-making process. Open dialogue and engagement are essential to support a strong sense of community and ensure that the interests and concerns of the district's population are duly considered. I had intended to ask the following question at the council meeting. The Bushfield Camp proposals have a tight timeline, proposing work starts on the site in 2025. Does the council's cabinet have the evidence to support the local economic need for the University Knowledge Park and hotel on this site? It is important to properly evaluate this evidence before the council grants permission to build what could become a white elephant on a cherished open space. This question reflects the need for transparency and evidence-based decision-making by the council regarding significant projects that can impact our community. Without the opportunity for open debate and scrutiny, the decision-making process risks becoming opaque and detached from the concerns of Winchester residents. In the spirit of upholding the principles of democracy, I urge the Lib Dem Cabinet to reconsider their decision and reinstate the full Winchester City Council meeting on the originally scheduled date. And that, as I said, is from Councillor Jan Warwick, Badger Farm and Oliver's Battery Ward, Hursley.
The next letter is entitled Council Plans and comes from Judith Mary Martin of Rumsey Road, Winchester. Imogen Dawson is absolutely right to call for the station approach plans to be postponed, or better still, cancelled. Chronicle, page 4, July the 6th. Like Councillor Horrell, I was initially encouraged by the new involvement of Network Rail. Although when I thought more about how the railways are run, about how trains don't in fact run, how monstrous the car parks they build are, and now about how they want to get rid of ticket offices, the more I doubted the value of their contribution, and now they've pulled out. Since the last round of plans, there's been a major pandemic. Working patterns have changed. Retail patterns had already changed, although Winchester City Council has been very slow to realise that. The Canary Wharf Group has had its ratings reduced to junk level because its office space is no longer desirable. Woking Borough Council, which invested in major office and retail developments, has gone bust, and councils up and down the country have signed up to zero carbon targets. As the saying goes, the greenest building is the one that's already built, and as Councillor Laming has said, there are already significant large empty office blocks in the immediate vicinity. Councillor Todd wants to link the development to future park and ride sites at Kings Barton and potentially Sir John Moore Barracks. When are those scheduled? I'm delighted that St Peter's car park is finally back in the local plan for housing development. But that was supposed to have changed, that was supposed to have happened after the first park and ride car park opened about 20 years ago. Where are the plans for that? The council seems to offer jam tomorrow with everything contingent on something else. Leisure centre at Bar End on setting the River Park site, development at the station on other developers' vague assurances. King's Barton is way behind schedule, but developers don't want to build so fast they lower prices. And of course, the great golden egg laying goose of Central Winchester regeneration. What Winchester desperately needs is affordable housing and not more student blocks. Today. Judith Mary Martin, Romsey Road, Winchester.
And now a letter from Rosemary Poole. It was reassuring to read in Andrew Napier's article in the Chronicle that there is a possibility that the station approach scheme might be postponed. Chronicle, July the 6th. So many of these schemes for the regeneration of Winchester do not have the approval of those of us living here, and we are forever grateful to the Winchester Deserves Better campaign for stopping the last one. But campaigns of this nature should not be necessary if the City Council could see these schemes in relation to the importance of what should be Winchester's special role in keeping heritage cities safe from large developments, such as the one that was, is, in the pipeline. Thank you too to Chris Blackman for his letter in the Chronicle on June the 29th. His sentiments entirely mirror my own. And that's from Rosemary Poole, St James Villas, Winchester.
No accountability. I had always voted locally for the Liberal Democrats since first getting the vote in 1973. Then, about 3 years ago, I realised they were neither Liberal nor Democratic and were starting to resemble the old Soviet Politburo, where they implement any scheme they wish and appear accountable to nobody. Bar End multi-storey car park, North Wall's sell-off, and Bushfield master plan approval, to name a few. The names of comrades Lerney and Todd are at the fore, as they were when the latest insane parking charges were announced in the Chronicle last week. I don't know if they live in Winchester, but if they bothered to visit on a Sunday, they would see what a vibrant place it is, with the varied markets attracting large crowds who no doubt visit our historical sites, pubs and restaurants. The introduction of the £2 daily fee from free parking had not seemed to deter visitors, but the increase to £17 after 4 hours will. Not content with trying to destroy our struggling business's best day of the week, our comrades are also having a go at the nighttime economy with the new 24-hour parking charges. The City Council are supposed to work for the benefit of the city and its residents, not wreck it. From other articles I've read in the Chronicle, I doubt that the two comrades I've mentioned will admit they are wrong. But perhaps if anyone else has an input into policy, they may reverse the complete madness of these parking charges. And that's from Ted Hart, Maytree Close Badger Farm, but it's followed with an editor's note to the letter. It's a matter of public record that Councillor Lerney lives in Hairstock and Councillor Todd lives in Week.
It's on a similar vein, parking issue. This is from Paul Lewis in Sutton Scotney. Councillor Kelsey Lerney tells us that higher car park charges are designed to cut congestion and improve air quality. Chronicle, July the 6th. This claim would be more convincing if Winchester City Council didn't provide employees with free parking. The new charges may help improve air quality, but there will still be the whiff of hypocrisy. Paul Lewis, Sutton Scotney.
And another letter on the same topic. And this comes from Dennis Gibson. Your newspaper has reported Winchester City Council's decision to do away with free parking between 7 p.m. and 8 a.m. in Winchester City's centre car parks. A fixed charge of £3.30 for any period of overnight parking was introduced at the beginning of July. This adds enormously to the costs of people who travel into the town for work in the nighttime economy and those who regularly participate in community, cultural and religious activities at city centre venues during the evening. There is an e-petition on the council's website at democracy.winchester.gov.uk. Would your readers please sign it if they agree that the decision should be reversed? You will have to sign up for a Winchester City Council account, free, if you don't already have one. And that's from Dennis Gibson, Mews Lane, Winchester.
Anthony Jones writes on Remember Suella. Owing to the forthcoming electoral boundary changes, many of your readers, like me, will no longer have Flick Drummond as their Conservative candidate. She will be replaced by Suella Braverman. When the time comes, remember that while Flick Drummond voted for the Privileges Committee report into the conduct of Boris Johnson, Suella Braverman did not vote at all. From Anthony Jones, Hinton Ampler, near Alston.
Now for something different. Feline fantasists. Mike Sherwood of Wright's Close, South Wanston, write, I bet that those woke people who identify as cats don't eat Whiskers or Sheba.
And now a letter from Nigel Atkinson, who is the Lord Lieutenant of Hampshire, and it is about our county day. July the 15th is designated Hampshire Day, with an aim to provide an annual opportunity to remember Hampshire's rich history and how county life has evolved over time, as well as looking forward to the future. It is a day for local people to celebrate their own diverse communities, as well as sharing pride in Hampshire's heritage, culture, natural environment, and people. While we have recently celebrated the coronation of His Majesty King Charles III, the country continues to face many challenges, both economically and socially. As I travel the county visiting charities, I am constantly surprised and delighted to see the energy, time, and sheer hard work volunteers give to help their communities. The war in Ukraine has also shown the generosity of spirit in this country as the Ukrainians continue to fight for their freedom. During these most challenging times, people have found new ways, new spaces, and new ideas to come together as a community. I do hope you will join me in celebrating Hampshire Day and raising the Hampshire flag. Hampshire Day gives us the opportunity to thank those who have worked tirelessly to help others in their communities over the last 12 months. The nation could not function without them. Thank you to all of you. And that's from Nigel Atkinson, the Lord Lieutenant of Hampshire, Winchester.
If you have an opinion or a subject you would like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860 836. That's 01962 860 836. Or email news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you could write an old-style letter to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Right, we'll continue now with editorial comment, Belgarum and first person. The editor heads up her article this week with The Irony of Green Proposals Near City. This week, the Hampshire Chronicle reports on two separate major planning applications. They are linked by two factors: their location next to Three Maids Hill and the fact that both are green business related. The site next to the roundabout is proposed by the largest electric vehicle charging hub in the UK. Just to the north is a proposal for a large anaerobic digester. Just up the road is a solar farm. But both are on open fields, some way from the edge of Winchester. Over the centuries, Winchester has grown organically from its medieval core. The only major greenfield developments near the city were places such as Bushfield Camp, Worthy Down, and the base that later became Sir John Moore Barracks. They were developed during the crisis of World War II. There is no such crisis, even the climate crisis, that warrants such development in this location near Three Maids Hill. The applicants are seeking to develop these sites because of their location next to major roads, the A34, A272 and M3. The other factor is that the land will be relatively cheap. But the bottom line is that these two proposals would wreck countryside on the northern approach to the city. They do not need to be there. And now Belgarum has come up with two short pieces this week from an alternative point of view. Tell us more, Nick.
Right, the first piece is about an American dazzle. Credit where it is due. Belgarum thinks the sprucing up of King's Walk looks terrific. The new lighting is still to be installed, but the paint job has transformed the tired 1970s building. The block is highly likely to be demolished when Silver Hill 2, or is it 3, arrives. But in the meantime, it is looking much more attractive for the shops and cafes. And is Belgarum alone in thinking the snazzy paint job evokes pictures of dazzle ships, the revolutionary camouflage on Allied ships in World War I? The paint was intended not to hide a ship from the German Navy, but to disrupt hostile intentions to make it more difficult to assess its position and thus sink it with shells or torpedoes. Clearly that is not an issue for King's Walk, but the building certainly now stands out. And for the second piece, Belgarum has taken us along to the banks of the River Test. Pub's Riverside Garden Accolade. A Hampshire pub has been ranked as having one of the best riverside beer gardens in the UK. The Mayfly in Fullerton has been included among 8 pubs listed by The Times for its wonderful setting to enjoy a pint or two. Speaking about the pub, The Times wrote, "There's a choice of outdoor settings here. A riverside patio or a grassy garden shaded by the boughs of mighty oak trees. For lunch, it has to be freshly caught test trout before you head off for a walk on Chilbolton Cow Common or a visit to the Black Chalk Vineyard. Stay further along the river in Stockbridge at the Grosvenor, which has its own lovely garden." And there is a picture of the pub there, the Mayfly, looking out across the Test with the little walkway that leads across the river there, and looking beautiful in the summer sunshine.
And now, in first person, Joanna Lewis writes about the lie of the land. Here's Paul.
This is one of my all-time favourite book titles. I do love a play on words. This book, The Lie of the Land, came out in the mid-1990s and made a huge impact. It focused on how established understanding of landscape evolved, how views were distorted, and what alternative approaches could look like. Africa from the colonial era onward was the case study. One of the famous misunderstandings of the imperial age was that land was often seen as vacant, empty, and not doing anything. The phrase "lie of the land" seems chillingly applicable today in our region. But far more dire will be the consequences if we accept misleading views on the landscape, whether from ignorance, misunderstanding, or for material gain. Recently, Chronicle readers have picked up on how Winnell Moores has been described as neglected, in need of opening up. The reality is it's a wild nature reserve, or that Bushfield Camp is previously built up land. In reality, it is greenfield site. How very convenient for developers and their council pals to push such a lie of the land. The fundamental issue is that green space, wild areas and farmland are misrepresented by those with power, money and influence as so-called areas that are ripe for development. But the true picture is that all such areas should be seen as vital health assets required for the very survival of all life in this area for the long term. No green space, wild areas or farmland should be concreted over anymore. We are on the verge of needing life support for the natural world. It is estimated the loss of topsoil on the planet is so catastrophic for the ability to grow food that there is one generation left to be supported by it. Nationally, the United Kingdom is one of the most depleted areas for wildlife and natural spaces in Europe. Take Wales. Despite all those touristy images of sweeping green valleys, empty spaces and pristine beaches, it's ranked 224 out of 240 countries for nature. Nearly 700 species currently are at risk. A growing cause of this problem is the way developers, investors, are cashing in on schemes to plant trees to fight off climate change, in theory. But here's another lie. This damages the local environment. Community groups and environmental scientists have warned that such large-scale planting gobbles up productive farmland and kills biodiverse habitats. In the United Kingdom as a whole, we've lost approximately 97% of wildflower meadows since the 1930s. Nearly 100 years on from that statistic is the final big lie of the land. We have forgotten we are a relatively small island in comparison to mainland Europe, for example. We're now overpopulated in relation to our natural resources, from water to food to the waste products that animals and humans pump out. The population size of the United Kingdom is now more than 67 million people, and the Office for National Statistics estimates 70 million in 2035. Our resources simply cannot cope with further mass migration. Already, we import unsustainable mountains of food. Water shortages are intensifying pressure to commandeer land for reservoirs. Intensive farming methods are simply intensifying. Cruelty to sentient beings that experience trauma grows. We are polluting rivers and the Solent to a degree that aquatic life is experiencing eco-genocide. Locally, this means we must work together more to stop those who make vast sums from the lies of the land. From the creeping green space infilling in our villages by the likes of Alfred Holmes, Chronicle, 6th of July, page 7, to the grotesquerie of the obscene proposals for a new town outside Mitchell Deaver by the O'Flynn Group. The billionaire owner of the stunning farmland, John Magnier, lives on a vast country estate in Ireland. Of course he does. It's a long way to Tipperary. It's a difficult conversation to have, but we must have it.
Right, thank you. Now, let's take a look at what's on in the region over the next couple of weeks. We'll start with HMS Pinafore. Winchester Musical and Operatic Society is set to perform an open-air production of HMS Pinafore in the surroundings of Winchester College between July the 18th and the 22nd. It's set in the 1940s and a troupe of players are at a railway station trying to get to their next venue. All trains are cancelled, so they perform on the platform, building the set and unpacking their costumes. Tickets are available from the chesiltheatre.org.uk website and they cost £16. Actually, it says it comes from wmos.org.uk. I think you'd need to check where they're available from. Also in Winchester, from Thursday the 20th, the award-winning Odd Socks Productions are bringing Shakespeare's romantic romp Much Ado About Nothing in their own inimitable, hilarious and irreverent style. That's at the Theatre Royal, and you can get tickets from the Theatre Royal box office. That starts at 7:30 p.m. and the tickets are £14.50. On Friday next, there's a ghost tour round Winchester at 8:30 p.m. £9 a ticket to discover the city's haunting past in this theatrical tour of the city. That sounds spooky. And Dynamic Youth Theatre presents Chitty Chitty Bang Bang at Barton Peveril Sixth Form College in Eastleigh. That's on Thursday the 20th, and that's on until the 22nd, so that's Thursday to Saturday. Tickets are from £5 to £11. We've also got, if you like, the songs from Mamma Mia. There's an evening of music from Mamma Mia, performed by Pops Incorporated, a 75-piece orchestra and singers, all with film clips and lighting, and that's at the Thorndon Hall in Eastleigh, and that's next Saturday the 22nd at 7:30. Here's a nice one. The Hobbit pub in Southampton are running the Hobbit Rum Festival. There's a featuring a lineup of live music in the garden from the castle stage, and the Hobbit is at 134 Beavis Valley Road in Southampton. So something for everybody there. And now here are the lighting up times. On Saturday the 16th of July, the sun will set at 9:14 p.m. and on Wednesday the 19th of July, the sun will rise at 5:12 a.m. and will set at 9:10 p.m. And now on to items of general news. Daphne, would you like to kick us off, please?
Yes, and the first item is headed Council Told It Must Go Electric on Bus Contract. Civic chiefs have come under fire for not prioritising the use of electric buses in their latest park and ride contract. Phil Gagg from the climate group WINAC criticised Winchester City Council's recommendation, which will start in April next year. Cabinet's report, which was discussed and supported on June the 21st, said that the current cost of electric buses was too high for them to be a priority. It was also revealed that park and ride passenger numbers were less than 60% of pre-COVID levels. Mr. Gagg said, "The only viable option must be using electric buses. The report prioritises high carbon options. it fails to account for the climate crisis. The low passenger numbers could be as a result of parking spaces being available in the city centre. WINAC says that the bus contract must have zero emissions at its core. The City Council recently trialled electric park and ride buses over a 4-week period. Domenico Bondi, MD of Volvo Bus UK and Ireland, said, "In Winchester, the trial couldn't have been more positive. The vehicle's battery capacity provided ample range to complete each day's 15-hour operation without a single top-up charge being required whilst in service, and the vehicle earned excellent driver and passenger feedback. However, to take the next step and create a better environment for everyone in Winchester, Stagecoach South will need to have access to appropriate government-backed funding." Winchester MP Steve Brine has also now shown his support for the scheme. He said, "Our city is a treasure trove of English heritage, so we can't ignore the potential to operate one of the cleanest and greenest park and ride systems in the country to protect it. We already have an efficient bus system, which reduces the need for cars to enter the city centre. Now we need to see it electrified, and I will be looking into how many more zero-emission bus regional areas, or ZEBRA, funding might be made available." However, the council said that passenger numbers had not returned to pre-COVID levels, and rising operational costs, such as fuel and driver wages, have had long-term financial implications. A report said this will influence the choice of vehicle to operate the service for the next contract period. The current 8-year contract is due to expire in April 2024. The report added, "The procurement of zero-emission buses to operate the park and ride service could be a key part of the council's strategy, though this must be tempered against the need to present a balanced financial strategy for the authority. The most significant factor in the immediate future operation of the park and ride service is the decision whether or not to use zero-emission buses. Only by undertaking a re-tendering exercise will these costs be established, including the whole life cost of the buses and the required infrastructure to be able to run them effectively. The results of the re-tendering exercise will be reported back to Cabinet in autumn 2023. The City Council's Cabinet agreed to support the re-tendering of the contract.
Repair Cafe to offer fashion fixes. A new repair cafe hosted its first DIY morning for fashion fixes to help more people repair their own favourite garments. Winchester Repair Cafe sewing team demonstrated two essential skills for visitors to learn and use at home. On Saturday, July the 8th, at Badger Farm Community Centre, two volunteers led demonstrations. Linda B's hemming demo helped visitors to learn how to adjust and hem their clothing. Gina Starkey talked people through how to repair their favourite knitted items by darning, patching, and unravelling threads to fix holes. Participants were encouraged to bring their own clothing items that needed hemming or knitted places pieces that required repair. The Repair Cafe opened earlier this year after a successful trial run in the autumn. The pop-up organisation is open the second Saturday of every month from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at Badger Farm Community Centre and 2 to 4:30 p.m. at Unit 12 in Winnell.
Fond farewell to college couple. Winchester College welcomed its partner charities for a summer party bidding farewell to the outgoing headmaster and his wife. The annual Winchester College Community Service Summer Reception was held in the Warden's Garden. Guests included the Lord Lieutenant, the mayor, the acting bishop of Winchester, the dean of Winchester, the leader of Winchester City Council, and MP Steve Brine, with the evening giving thanks to local charities and groups for their support. It was a chance to say goodbye to head Dr. Tim Hands and his wife Jane, a lay canon of Winchester Cathedral, who are leaving Winchester after 7 years. Senior Winchester College students volunteer weekly for organisations such as the hospital, the cathedral chapter, the Winchester Beacon, Trinity Winchester, Butterfly Conservation, Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust, Cameron Bespolka Trust, and the Rose Road Association. Community was one of Dr. Hand's four objectives when he arrived, with the vision of widening access, fundraising for a generous bursary provision, initiating successful partnerships with Hampshire schools and colleges, and improving bonds between the school and the cathedral and the wider community. Dr. Hands has overseen external initiatives such as the college becoming lead sponsor of Heritage Open Days and free entry to the Treasury Museum in College Street. Mrs. Hands, who retired after a legal career in London, has helped the cathedral with the new cathedral's measure, requiring all cathedrals to become charities. Dean Catherine Ogle said, "Jane brings a clarity of thought and a compassionate heart to everything that she does. She has been the most remarkable source of wisdom, judgment, and sheer hard work. Through our adoption of the new cathedral's measure and fashioning the new cathedral constitution and statutes, it's not overstating the case to say I really don't know what we have done without her." CEO of Trinity, Sue McKenna, said, "Trinity was fortunate to attract Jane Hands as an advocate in 2019. Since then she has been an avid supporter and volunteer. She made an immediate impact when she joined the Winchester community and was never shy to turn her hand to anything. She organised annual Christmas concerts, volunteered at big sleep-out events, and shook many buckets to raise funds on the high street. We feel truly honoured to have been part of their journey." Dr. Hands' successor in October will be Winchester College's first woman head mistress.
President on his bike for charity. The president of Winchester Rugby Club has cycled almost 500 miles to raise money for the Motor Neurone Disease Association, or MNDA. Rob Sanderson, 66, along with eight of his friends, set off from the club on June the 26th, arriving at Melrose Rugby Football Club in Scotland on July the 2nd. The ride was partially in memory of sports columnist Doddy Weir, OBE, who died of motor neurone disease in 2022. This was the sixth cycle ride that Rob had completed for the charity after his wife Kate died from MND in 2014. He said, "We started on the Monday, June the 26th, from the rugby club, and we spent the next 6 days cycling up to Melrose Rugby Club. The reason for the two clubs is that I lost my wife to MND 8 years ago, and we met at Winchester Rugby Club when I was first team skipper down there. And Doddy Weir started his career at Melrose Rugby Club and passed away from the same condition last November, so it completed the circle, really. We thought we should link up the two rugby clubs and raise a few bob and awareness for MND at the same time. We left Winchester on Monday, arrived at Melrose on Saturday, with a few personal and appropriate stops along the way to raise awareness. Stops included the MNDA head offices in Northampton, Wakefield Trinity Rugby Stadium, and the Leeds Rhinos Headingley Stadium. The group also took part in Doddy Weir's Memorial Charity Cycle Ride on June the 2nd. Rob estimated that he raised approximately £10,000 for the charity during his latest ride, bringing the title he had raised for the Motor Neurone Disease Association up to £134,137 since 2014. He said, "It's a fantastic total. It's for the events over the last 7 years since I bought a bike. Thank you to everyone who has supported me over the years. I think they're all hoping I don't do another one. I always say after each one, that's the last one, and have ended up doing another. I do have an idea for another ride, but we're just going to see how it pans out."
Bakery chain to open in city centre. A fast-growing bakery chain has signed the lease for a Winchester store. Wenzel's The Bakers will be moving into the former TSB unit in the High Street, following a deal with Winchester estate agency Goadsby. Established in 1975, Wenzel's now has more than 100 stores, including ones in Whiteley, Basingstoke and Portsmouth. The London-born family business offers sweet and savoury baked goods, from fondant fancies and unicorn cakes to sausage rolls and sandwiches. Natalie Kyle of Goadsby said, "This deal shows continued strong demand for retail units in Winchester, and we wish Wenzel's every success. The TSB unit on the corner next to Sainsbury's has been left empty for 2 years, with Winchester being one of the bank's 164 branch closures across the country in 2021. Before being a bank, 141 High Street had been a Burger King for a while.
Plan to build UK's largest electric vehicle charging plant. The largest electric vehicle charging hub in the UK has been proposed for a greenfield site north of Winchester. InstaVolt has submitted plans to build the hub at Three Maids Hill roundabout near the A34. The Winchester Super Hub has been designed to create accessibility for all, and there will be on-site amenities including food, drink and toilets, as well as a play area for children. While the total number of chargers is yet to be finalised, the hub will have bays for dozens of cars, towing vehicles and heavy goods vehicles. The scheme will also feature large ground mount and roof mounted solar arrays and on-site energy storage. Adrian Keane, Chief Executive of InstaVolt, said, "Located just off the A34 at one of the busiest road networks linking the south with the Midlands and beyond, our Winchester Superhub will be game-changing. This represents a significant investment and highlights our commitment to expanding the United Kingdom's rapid charging infrastructure on the strategic road network. It's the first of a number of InstaVolt Superhubs in development. With a class-leading reliability of 99%, EV drivers can be confident that when they arrive, they'll find an easy-to-use charger with on-site amenities to not only recharge your battery, but recharge yourself. This is not the first time that a planning application has been submitted for this area north of Three Maids Hill. Last year, an application to build a large waste recycling centre was rejected following mass objections from nearby residents. Concerns have been growing about development to the north of Winchester, with construction well advanced on King's Barton and the St John Moores Barrack, due to be vacated by the army in a few years."
New name and new start for refurbished pavilion. A refurbished pavilion at a village recreation ground has been renamed and opened in honour of a former parish councillor. The Michael King Pavilion was formally opened at Coldham Common Recreation Ground by the Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Angela Clear. Michael King, known as Mike or Kinger, was a parish councillor, chairman of Coldham Common Football Club, and best known as being the landlord of the Black Horse in Main Road for 37 years. Coldon Common Parish Council renamed the pavilion in recognition of Mike's 30 years of contributions to public service and to village life. His family joined parish and city councillors for the official opening on Saturday, June the 4th, which kicked off the annual village fete, Common Have a Go. Wife of the village legend, Wendy King, said, "He would have been so proud to see the pavilion. He loved this village nearly as much as he loved Chelsea Football Club. It's lovely we've got the bright blue ribbon for his football team. We're as proud as punch. He used to mow the lawn here in his younger days when he was chair of the football club. He was proud of the whole village." Recently retired parish councillor Richard Izzard wrote Mr. King's obituary after he died of cancer at 70 years old in 2014. Former council chairman Mr. Izzard said, "The village was him, the football and the recreation ground, it was him. He wasn't political and the village was his whole life. We thought it was really fitting as a parish to name the pavilion after him and give him and his family that recognition." Before introducing the mayor to cut the ribbon, parish councillor John Boyes said, "He was a prominent and well-respected member within the village. The project to repurpose the pavilion has been made possible by generous donations and grants from Winchester City Council, the National Lottery, the Parish Hall Trust, the Recreation Ground Charity, Councillor Humby and Aviva. The end product has been well worth the wait." The original pavilion had been in place since the 1970s when Mr. King first moved to the area, but the old wooden building has been revamped as a community space with around £200,000 being raised for the refurbishment, including a £90,000 community infrastructure levy grant from Winchester City Council and £26,000 from the Recreation Ground Charity. And that's illustrated by a delightful photograph of the friends and family of Michael King and the councillors standing in front of that beautifully refurbished pavilion. They're waving. It's a brilliant sunny day with sunshine, and one of them is wearing that blue ribbon with a medal on the end of it.
New bishop welcomed after long interregnum. The new Bishop of Winchester has been announced as the Right Reverend Philip Mountstephen. The announcement came as he visited St Mark's CE School in Shirley, Southampton, and spoke to students about his new role. Bishop Philip will serve as the 98th Bishop of Winchester Diocese, which covers 255 parishes across most of Hampshire and parts of Dorset. He will be welcomed at a service of installation in Winchester Cathedral later this year. The Reverend was born in Hampshire and studied English literature at the University of Southampton, where he became a Christian. Following a short career in teaching, he was ordained in the Diocese of Oxford in 1988, where he served his curacy. He also held posts as Deputy General Director at the Church Pastoral Aid Society, being the chaplain of St Michael's Church in Paris, and the Chief Executive of the Church Mission Society, all before becoming the Bishop of Truro in 2018. Bishop Philip said, "Being a bishop is all about serving other people. And it's a great honour to be called to be Bishop of Winchester. It's a very ancient role within the church and the life of this country, and I feel hugely privileged to be asked to do it. The biggest challenge we face is also our biggest opportunity, and it's how we can best love and serve the people of Hampshire, Bournemouth and Christchurch and all the places that formed the Diocese of Winchester." The new bishop replaced Tim Dakin, who retired in February 2022. His tenure as being controversial, with unhappiness across the diocese over his management style. A letter from a group of priests led to the bishop stepping down in 2021. Bishop Philip was welcomed by Winchester and Chandler Ford's MP Steve Brine, who said, "The diocese has had a very long interregnum, so I am pleased we now have this announcement. Many congratulations to the Right Reverend Philip Mountstephen on his appointment as the new Bishop of Winchester. I look forward to working with him and making him welcome." The new bishop spoke to children at the school whose first impressions were positive. Jessica Cookson, a Year 6 pupil, said, "He seems really nice and quite relaxed. He didn't seem too stressed about becoming the new bishop. I think he will be really good because he seems very kind, and I like people who are kind because it makes them easier to talk to." The 11-year-old had some recommendations for the new leader. She said, "I think sometimes making the services more interesting for children would be good, because occasionally they can be a bit boring when there are not many activities for children to do."
Steve Brine backs campaign. Owen Carey was just 18 when he suffered a fatal anaphylactic reaction after eating a chicken burger, stated on the menu as being plain grilled at a restaurant in London. The latest milestone in the campaign came as Mr. Brine introduced Owen's family to the Minister for Food, Farming and Fisheries, Mark Spencer. Owen's father, sister and brother made a short presentation on their campaign and presented the minister a copy of the impact statement which supporters worked with the family on. The family's main request to Mr. Spencer was to direct the Food Standards Agency to accelerate their work on Owen's Law and change the regulations. Mr. Brine suggested that the necessary legislative changes could be put in place very easily through delegated legislation. He said, "I was proud to be able to do my bit and get Owen's family in front of the minister. Their campaign is vital to ensure their tragedy is not repeated. I know many of my parliamentary colleagues of all parties will back this, so let's honour Owen and all those impacted by such food intolerances."
Outdoor cinema returns. An outdoor cinema is returning to Hampshire this month for the second year in a row. Cinema Under Canvas returns for a second year at Sunnyfields Farm near Southampton this month to raise money for Naomi House and Jack's Place, local hospices for children and young adults. Described as a perfect event for families, the outdoor cinema event features two family-friendly films, the beloved animated classic from Pixar, Finding Nemo, and Matilda the Musical, an award-winning film based on Roald Dahl's beloved novel. Families can enjoy tasty refreshments from local vendors, fun games, and a pop-up shop full of children's clothing and toys. The charity will also share some of the creative and crafty activities they provide for the children and young adults who visit the hospices. People who attended Cinema Under Canvas last year were asked what the best thing about the event was. And someone said, "The casual cinema style. It was the first time I had taken my 3-year-old twins to a cinema, so if they got a bit restless, we could move around without worry." Ticket prices include adult, that is 16 plus, £5, child, 4 to 15, £7.50, and child, 0 to 3, free. Book your tickets for July the 29th at naomihouse.org.uk/cinema23.
Two new street pastors have been enrolled to join a team of 60 others who walk the streets of Winchester to help improve safety. Fritz Janssen from Martyr Worthy and Robert Belsey from Hyde were commissioned as Winchester street pastors at St Peter's Church on Sunday, July the 2nd. The new recruits join the group of Christians who patrol the city centre streets every Friday and Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. The volunteers offer reassurance, safety and support by listening and helping those in need, whether that's someone after a night out or sleeping rough. The team works closely with the police and alert CCTV operators of any suspicious or criminal activity. And there's a picture of the group of pastors, obviously at the inauguration of the new ones, all waving at the camera.
Man charged with attempted murder. A former mayor of Winchester has been charged following an investigation into the death of Margaret McLean, aged 92, in Waltham Chase. David McLean, 71, of Morley Drive, Bishop's Waltham, has been charged with attempted murder and is due to appear at Portsmouth Crown Court on Wednesday, July the 26th. Police had been called shortly after midnight on Friday, October the 7th, 2022, to a report of a woman's death at an address in Chase Grove, Waltham Chase. Until May, McLean was Conservative City Councillor representing Bishop's Waltham. He was Mayor in 2017-18 and a long-serving member of the Planning Committee.
Excellence from pupils. The Pilgrims School, Winchester, is noted for the excellence of its music, being the educational base for the Cathedral Choristers and Winchester College Quiristers. On Thursday, June the 8th, 11 pupils gave an excellent and varied programme at St Cross Hospital Chapel, sensitively accompanied by Chris Burton, Assistant Director of Music at the school. The appreciative audience enjoyed performances on violin, oboe, flute, cello, clarinet, piano, double bass and trumpet, which illustrates the range of instruments taught, and composers ranging from Vivaldi, Bach and Mozart to Granados, Debussy and Morricone. The overall standard of all pupils was outstanding, especially considering their youth, and it would be unfair to single out any one performance over another. Everyone played with accuracy, musical expression, and excellent tuning, and demonstrated overall confidence, a great credit to their teachers. Perfect pitch concerts at St Cross are all about encouraging young musicians by providing a platform and encouragement. Concerts continue every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. until October the 26th.
Zoo offers play area. A new accessible play area for young children will be arriving at Marwell Zoo for the summer holidays. Toddlers will be able to climb, slide and balance while honing their problem-solving skills and experiencing different textures. The structure, mainly made from recycled materials, is fitted with wheelchair access ramps in addition to sensory play features designed for children aged 2 or more. The new apparatus will replace the equipment previously located in the sand pit outside Bush Tucker Bites in the Fur, Feather and Scales area of the zoo. Sand will be swapped for rubber mulch and safety pads, and there is coffee, snacks and seating nearby for the adults. The neighbouring older children's play area will remain and is set to reopen when works on the new equipment are completed around the end of July. Marwell has multiple adventure play areas dotted around the park to enable children to let off steam in between exploring the 140-acre zoo. Under threes get free entry to the zoo, and student and senior prices have just been reduced to £15. The free Marvel Zoo app is available to download for feed times. Cafes are open on site, but outdoor spaces and indoor picnic huts are also available for picnicking. And I think that's for the visitors, not for the animals. For more information and tickets, go to marwell.org.uk.
More music. Winchester Cathedral recently hosted a community engagement concert which included 150 children from four local primary schools. Children from St Faith's, All Saints at Highcliffe, Stanmore and Western Primary came together to perform a concert including songs from different cultures and eras. The concert was attended by proud parents and visitors to the cathedral. Music teachers from the cathedral, the Pilgrim School and Winchester College have been working with the pupils this term to learn the programme of songs for the event. Project leader Chris Burton said, "It's been so wonderful to bring everyone together to sing the same songs and share this fantastic opportunity. Some of these children have never sung in a choir before, yet alone done so in this incredible building." Suborganist Joshua Stevens treated the audience to a demonstration of the sounds of the organ and a performance of Bach's Toccata in D minor.
Goals are the goal. Winnall Primary School is fundraising for the purchase of large football goals. Sam Feltham, the parent governor at Winnall Primary School and chair of Winnall Forum, is spearheading this initiative. He said, "Winnall has never had large football goals before, so if we manage to raise the money, it will allow us to properly train the children and host other schools for matches. The school has set up a GoFundMe to help raise the money it needs. In addition to this fundraiser, Winnall Primary School's summer fair took place on Friday, June the 30th, and featured a Beat the Goalie stand with participants taking shots at PE teacher Mr. Jewell, with funds raised going towards the campaign to purchase the goals. The school is looking to purchase these ahead of the Women's World Cup in July. They have specifically set their eyes on a set of portable Samba speed goals, which are easy to set up and store, making them perfect for the school's needs. Their fundraising target is set at £300. However, any additional funds raised will be utilised to acquire new football kits for the school. The school is appealing for donations and also requesting people to help spread the word about their campaign. All funds raised through the GoFundMe page will be directly transferred to Winnall Primary School.
The Rock School helps keep kids to keep on rocking. A community music charity inspired by the hit film School of Rock has risen from the ashes thanks to vital funding. Winnall Rock School was on death's door last year, but following a £10,000 grant from the National Lottery has managed to survive and keep providing kids with a home through music. The organisation, which allows students aged 10 to 17 to write and create their own music, was founded in 2004 to fill a gap in the area by providing free band workshops for those who couldn't afford music tuition. Nearly 20 years on, the Rock School has three groups jamming out every week and expressing their emotions through words and instruments at Unit 12 in Winnall. The 20 young musicians are now preparing for their annual summer show at the Theatre Royal Winchester on Wednesday, July the 19th, that's next week, entitled Tomorrow, Yesterday, Now. Project coordinator Peter Brown said, "Many kids are not attracted by the music curriculum at school. They just want to play. We start them off writing music, looking at what they can do and create a song from there. The children learn how to play instruments through their own songs. Some are from households that can't afford it, while others are battling social or mental health issues. Music is a form of community for them. It's been financially tough since COVID, and by last year's show, we were devising plans to hibernate until more funds came in. Miraculously, the National Lottery awarded us £10,000 the very next morning. With care, we have eked this to last the whole year.
The young people get gold stamp in Duke of Edinburgh Awards. Nearly 30 young people received their Duke of Edinburgh Gold Awards from the Lord Lieutenant of Hampshire. More than 100 supporters gathered in the Great Hall in Winchester to join the celebration hosted by the Hampshire Forum. Welcomed in by marimba music played by Grace and Faith Lane from Hampshire Music Service, the event on Friday, July the 7th, was a celebration of the award recipients' achievements from hiking and canoeing expeditions to overseas adventures, volunteering and crewing tall ships. The award scheme is a nationwide scheme requiring participants to volunteer, learn or improve a skill, take part in a physical activity and complete an expedition. For the Gold Award, a young person would typically give more than 50 hours volunteering, spend 18 months on the skill and physical activities, and undertake a four-day expedition, carrying all their kit and being self-sufficient. The Lord Lieutenant of Hampshire, Nigel Atkinson, also President of the Duke of Edinburgh Awards in Hampshire, presented the certificates. He said, "These young people have demonstrated a huge level of commitment and determination to gain this very prestigious award, and they can be very proud of their achievement. I know they will all have thoroughly enjoyed the challenge too. As there is a real need for leaders to train the next generation of young participants, I would urge them to continue their good work and enjoyment by offering their time and skills as volunteers." Outgoing chair of the Hampshire Forum, Professor Khalid Aziz, said, "DOV represents a major challenge, and gaining the Gold Award is a real achievement. I hope to see many more young people following in their footsteps in the years to come."
Aladdin, hailed as dance school's best yet. More than 150 children, 500 costumes and 30 dance numbers made up a fantastic performance at the Theatre Royal. Winchester Dance School Integrate Dance, and the 8-bit is the figure eight, so Integrate Dance, recreated Aladdin at the beginning of June for its annual stage show with a new take on why villains are bad. Written and directed by dance teacher Ellie Routledge, Integrate's adaptation of the story follows a street urchin who falls in love with a princess and was branded the school's best show yet. Each of the 12 dance classes, ranging from street dance and contemporary to cheerleading, were delegated 2 dances each to tell the twisted tale with a main cast of 30 students. Parent Candice Collins, whose daughter played Jasmine, said, "It was a fantastic show of Aladdin and gave so many children from our community the opportunity to perform dancing, acting and singing and have loads of fun. I watched a couple of performances and felt it was their best show yet. I couldn't help overhear other local people watching who were impressed by the calibre of the show." For more information on Integrate Dance, go to integratedance.com. And that's illustrated by a photograph of the students on stage in their costumes, kneeling before the central character, presumably it's Aladdin, and they all look as if they're enjoying themselves.
A delegation from Winchester's Twin City in Germany has visited the UK to see the statue of Licorice outside the Ark in Jury Street. 18 visitors from Biebertal near Gießen including their mayor, Mrs. Altman, were greeted by the Deputy Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Russell Gordon-Smith, and Danny Hable, a trustee of the Licorisha of Winchester Appeal, on Saturday, July the 8th. The guests sat in the Ark Café and listened as Danny informed them that his parents came to England in 1939 as refugees from Germany. He went on to explain the reasons for commissioning the statue of Licorisha. It is one of fewer than 40 in England and Wales of a woman who is not a royal. She was a woman who was a leader of the city's Jewish community in the 13th century. She was murdered along with her Christian maid. Considered a role model for women, she demonstrates the contribution minority groups have made to the city. Her personal discussions with King Henry III when the royal court came to Winchester is an illustration of the city's royal history.
Well, I'm sorry to say that's all we have for you this week. When you've finished with the recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet, place the correct address label on the front of the wallet, and return it as soon as possible. Thanks to all the support teams for the preparation and dispatch of this edition. And of course, many thanks to our readers. Daphne Poupart.
Goodbye.
Nick Kearns.
Goodbye.
Paul Newman.
Bye-bye.
And from me, Barbara Kearns. Thank you for listening. Until the next time, goodbye and have a great week.